Well, this Christmas at Steele Heights, we've been working through our Advent series called Christmas, A Time of Fulfillment. And this morning, I just want to share a brief message with you entitled The Star of Bethlehem. The Star of Bethlehem. And it's based off a reading from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2. And so I'd like to begin by reading to you about the visit of the Magi, as was explained quite well in the introduction of the Magi. They're quite the people, and they were magicians. They might have been astronomers, astrologists. We don't know for sure. They might have been royalty, but they came from the East, and Matthew gives special notice of them in his scriptures. So recorded for us in Matthew 2, verses 1 through 12, the visit of the Magi. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born the King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people." Then Herod called the Magi and secretly found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make careful search for the child. And as soon as you find him, report to me so that I may go and worship him as well." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. And on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and they worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word here at Steele Heights today. Well, at age 12, Pat Nixon was forced to leave his home by his stepfather. And he started living on the streets with the drug dealers and the derelicts in Kamloops, B.C. And at age 15, he was passed out at a park, and the RCMP found him, and they put him on a bus, a Greyhound bus, with a one-way ticket to Calgary. Oh, the good old days of the 1970s. That's how they took care of things. Well, Pat arrives in Calgary not knowing anybody, and he takes to the streets and he starts panhandling to pay for his food, to pay for his growing drug addiction. And then one day, four men from a church called First Baptist in Calgary, they saw Pat there and they invited him out for lunch to give him something to eat. And after lunch, instead of just saying, you know, go your way, one of the men invited Pat to come and to live with his family at his home. And so for 2 years, Pat lived with his family, but all along he was stealing from them, he was lying to them. And then finally the father said, "You know what, Pat, you're going to have to leave." And so back out on the streets, there was Pat, and he started stealing cars, he started dealing drugs, and at age 16, he was in jail. And he was there for 2 years. And at age 18, he got out, and you know what the first thing he did when he got back? He went to his adoptive family. And he shows up on the front step, and the father opens the door, and he says, "Pat, are you ready to try again?" Wow. And Pat Nixon never forgot that kind of grace. And he's always remembered that people need a second chance, and a third chance, and a fourth, and even a fifth. And the love that Pat experienced from that man And from his family and from that church in downtown Calgary, because of that love, he received Christ into his life as Savior. And he started attending that First Baptist, and he didn't understand everything that was going on, and he found himself wanting to serve at this street mission that the church was involved with called the Burning Bush. And he just find himself in the scrub tank in the back of the mission, washing dishes and cups. And in fact, he did such a great job washing cups and dishes that they gave him more jobs to do and more jobs to do. And pretty soon he was put in leadership. And then in a little while after that, he became the director of the ministry. And in 1984, he re-envisioned that ministry. And today we know it as the Mustard Seed. And that's Pat there in the middle. So in 2005, Pat was awarded the Order of Canada for his tireless work and his compassion for the homeless. Some of you know that we're helped start a ministry called the Mosaic Center, and we worked with two other churches here in Northeast Edmonton and another organization, and it grew and it grew, and we 2 years ago we amalgamated with the Mustard Seed Ministry, and the Mosaic Ministry that we're involved with is part of the Mustard Seed. And it's just an amazing thing to see how the kingdom of God grows and works like that of a mustard seed when our faith is in Christ. Well, and after 26 years of faithful service, Pat stepped down as executive director. The ministry had grown to over 300 employees. It had spread across Alberta. There was over 15,000 volunteers. And they had acquired numerous housing projects and shelters and a warehouse and an office center downtown Calgary. And Pat stepped down from that ministry, and it has grown ever since. Well, you can imagine the kind of stories that a guy like Pat Nixon, just you can see him there, what he could tell, what he's seen. And I was recently at the premier's prayer breakfast, and Pat Nixon was speaking. And he shared a story there about how a person had called him at his office in downtown Calgary, and they were concerned about a family member who had gone missing, and they were wondering if Pat had maybe heard of this person or could check his contacts to see if this person was living downtown on the streets. And so after the phone call, Pat hits the streets and he's looking around. He's talking to his people. He can't find this person and he's getting tired. He's getting kind of cold and he's ready to call it a day. And he's coming through this vacant lot and he sees this hut, this kind of little shanty thrown together. And he listens for a second and he hears what seems to be the voice of a man singing within this little hut. So he draws closer. And sure enough, here is a man inside that hut singing Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace. So he calls out to the occupant, and this homeless fellow pops his head out and he says, "Hey, come on in." And so Pat, a little tentative, he crouches down, he crawls in. And then once his eyes kind of adjusted to the flickering candlelight inside there, he sees this man grinning at him. It wasn't the man that he was looking for, but it was another homeless angel needing a little entertaining. And so the man said, "I want to show you something really special." And he blows out the candle, and it's completely dark, and it's quiet, and Pat's starting to get nervous. And the fellow says, "Look up through the ceiling. Look up through that little hole." And Pat's looking up through this little open-air skylight in the top of the hut. And he looks up there, and in the clear sky over Calgary that night, he sees this one star. This one star. And the guy goes, "That's my star. That's my special star." And that impacted Pat. We all need a star. We all need the hope that can bring us through this life. And when we read the story about the Magi, we read a story about hope. And in Matthew 2, the Magi came to find the Christ because they had seen the star in the east. And arriving there, they learned from that child, they learned that the child whom they'd searching for was born in a little village called Bethlehem. And 700 years before this event, the prophet Micah wrote, "But you, Bethlehem of Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times." So the Magi met with Herod, who called himself the king of the Jews. And ironically, they asked him, "Where is this one who's been born the king of the Jews?" So Matthew tells us that Herod sent them to the Magi to Bethlehem. And he says, on their going, "Make sure after you find him, come back and tell me, because I want to go and worship him as well." But Herod had no intention of worshiping him because he considered this messianic child a threat to his throne, and he wanted to murder him. So leaving Herod in Jerusalem, the Magi see a star again, and it leads them to Bethlehem, and it leads them to the house where Jesus lives with his family, and bowing down, they begin to worship him with gold and frankincense and myrrh, with these gifts that they brought for him. And then having this dream, they're warned, don't go back to Herod, take another route back to your homeland. So this star of Bethlehem, or this star of the east, is fascinated. It's a fascinating aspect of the Christmas story, and it's one that's enchanted and puzzled both theologians and astronomers for many years. We don't know if it was God's providential hand at the time of Christ's birth that just perfectly aligned the planets and the sun so that Jupiter was rising up in the morning sky and caught the glow of the sun and shined like the star of the east. Or if months later it was a miracle where a shining angel just shone in the sky and led the Magi to the house in Bethlehem where Jesus lived. Or maybe it was a combination of both. But interestingly, there's this Old Testament messianic prophecy about a symbolic star. And we read about it in Numbers 24:17. And the prophet Balaam says this, "I see him, but not now. I behold him, but not near. A star will come out of Judah, a scepter, king will rise out of Israel." However God caused that Bethlehem star to shine, it serves as a symbolic fulfillment of what was prophesied about Jesus being born in Bethlehem. And it reminds us, folks, it reminds us of the hope and the joy that is associated with Christmas. Just like that man looking up through the top of his little hut in downtown Calgary. The Apostle Peter, listen to this. Listen to what the Apostle Peter says. "We have the word of the prophets, who were inspired by the Holy Spirit, made more certain, and you will do well to pay attention to it, to open your minds to it, as to what a light shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts." The morning star is none other than Jesus Christ. You can read about that in Revelations 22:16. He's the fulfillment of Balaam's prophecy. The Magi were signaled to journey through the dark deserts of Arabia by a star. And finding the child there, they bowed down and they worshipped him. Pat Nixon wandered in darkness through the streets of Kamloops and through Calgary until some men loved him enough to show him the love of Jesus. And he found in his heart the morning star rising up in his heart. And he found a sense of purpose for his life. And through that purpose and through God's leading, an extreme sense of fulfillment. Folks, Christmas is a time of fulfillment. Jesus said, "I came to fulfill all that was written about me in the book of Moses, in the Psalms, and in the prophets." You know, there's many starry beacons that we can follow in this life. But only Jesus Christ, only Jesus Christ. This is the promise of the Bible, that only Jesus Christ can truly lead us into a fulfilled life in this life and to eternal life. in the life to come. He is the light of the world. He is the hope of the nations. Jesus is the morning star. He is the King of Kings. And this Christmas, I want to encourage you to surrender the throne of your life to His kingship. Let Him reign. Let Him bring His peace and His joy into your heart. You will sing like these children were singing with childlike faith as Christ shows you that He truly is your guiding star. He truly is the light of life. He doesn't want you to walk in darkness anymore. So this Christmas, whether it's for the very first time, even today, that you would bow your heart and you would receive into your life, to the throne of your life, the King of Kings. Or maybe it's the 55th time and you just need to rededicate your life to Christ this Christmas. For He is the morning star. He is the Bethlehem star. I encourage you to invite Him to take the throne of your life. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I just want to thank You so much for this day of hope that we've experienced here. This day of joy as the children have led us. God, they've led us in worship. They've led us in the story of Christmas. And so, Father, I pray Your blessing on every child, God. Every individual here, every family that's represented. Lord, I pray Your blessing and anointing on them. Thank You, God, for the hope of Christmas. Lord, we ask for Your blessing now. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this morning, we have a special guest with us, and her name is Rebecca Mikedon. And let's give her a warm Still Heights welcome. Rebecca has applied for our worship pastor position, and now she's our candidate applicant. So she's going to spend a couple Sundays with us between now and New Year's, and we're just trying to discern God's will on this position and God's call for Rebecca. So bless you, Rebecca. It's great to have you here.
Good morning, good morning. Why don't you stand? We're just going to sing one more song and let's sing together.
Thank you.
Still Heights bless you in Jesus' name. And I want to encourage you all to, if you have time, to stick around for a time of fellowship in lobby. And I think, kids, we have a special treat for you as well on the way out of the sanctuary. So it's been just a full morning, and we have so much to bless the Lord with. Well, may the Lord bless you and keep you and cause his face to shine upon you. May he look upon you and give you his grace. Go in his joy and his peace, Still Heights. Bless you. Amen.